welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your host, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Austin Brower, and I'm so glad to have you with us today. And also, too, we have Dad on the show with us, as every day. How are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful, Austin. And so I got some exciting news for the listeners. Doug Hagman has asked you to come on next week. He hasn't got a date yet. And do a show or an hour's worth of a show and talk about what we talked about on the show on Monday as far as rounds, how they were fired, how guns work, how they jam, target acquisition, all of that stuff. And so that's a pretty big honor for, you know, for Hagman and Hagman to bring you on. That's a huge, huge show for you to make your debut on another broadcast. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, that is an honor. I'll definitely try and make sure I get some information and some any new stuff that comes up as well, so we can kind of point this out at what it really is. Is the more and more info we keep looking at it, it's definitely something that was either staged or hoaxed, or there are multiple people involved as far as shooters. I'm not 100% sure yet, but it was definitely not the whole story that we've been told. One thing I did want to address to you guys, my prayers go out to the Graves family out of Nebraska. Yesterday in Central Florida here, about 30 minutes from here, at the Disney, which resort was it? The Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, authorities have now recovered the body of the two-year-old boy that was killed in the water by an alligator at the resort. The seven-foot gator grabbed the boy Tuesday when he was playing in about a half foot of water at the Seven Seas Lagoon. His father quickly rushed to the boy's aid. He could not fend off the alligator and received minor injuries to his hand. The boy's mother also rushed in the water, but it was too late. However, they have recovered the body now, 16 hours later. So I just want everybody, you know, to pray for them, and I can't imagine dealing with that. But the reason why I brought this up, because it's a pretty morbid story and it's quite sad, is that people need to understand that come from out of state that we do live in a swamp down here in Florida. You know, Disney World is Disney World. They're all fun and games. They have all their stuff there, but there's still gators there. There's gators in literally every part of Florida, specifically Central and South Florida. And you have to understand, guys, they're very, very aggressive if they feel threatened, if they're hungry, or if they're mating. And apparently this kid, there was no swimming signs up, but there were no gator alert signs up like they have in some areas of Florida. And this kid was basically splashing around in the water, and the gator poached him and took him under, and there's nothing his parents could do. But I just wanted to give people a heads up on that, that these guys are not what you think they are. They're very, very aggressive, strong reptiles. They like to eat other mammals. They're at the top of the aggression list as far as in Florida, other than humans, and they're not a joke. So if you do come to visit Florida, I'm not saying be scared. I'm not saying be all fearful of them, but have respect for them and don't treat them like they're a pet. You want to go get photos with them and, you know, caress them and molest them and do whatever anybody wants to do. And understand that if you have little kids, that's the biggest threat. If you're a 6 foot tall, 200-pound grown man, there's very, very unlikely chance that one of these things are going to come after you. But see, when you got a small two-year-old child, it's going to put off the same type of size as, you know, maybe a raccoon or a fox or something of that sort. And these gators, they're non-discriminatory. They'll go after anything. But I just want my, you know, everybody to understand to have their prayers out of this family. It was a pretty horrific incident yesterday. But please have situational awareness. If you are in Florida and you are going to open bodies of water that are fresh water, we do have gators here. We have a lot of them. We can't really poach them except for 2 months out of the year with permits that are very hard to get. So we have about 1.5 million in Florida. So they're not a joke, and I just wanted to give everybody a heads up on that.
Well, that's a conservative estimate. I think it's closer to 10 million if you factor the small ones in. The problem is when a gator hatches, a water moccasin will eat it, turtles will eat it, everything will eat it. So they have a lot of predators that are, you know, the birds will pick them up and eat them because they're tiny. But, you know, they don't stay tiny long. They hide in the shallows, and when they get bigger and bigger, after they get to about 2 feet long, they're pretty much, the birds aren't going to get them anymore. The turtles won't get them anymore. I mean, you start, now they become like pretty much the only predator they have is a human being. When I was a child down here, we lived on Lake Mariana, and it was super clean, spring-fed lake. It was swinging, like swimming in a swimming pool. It was so clean. It was wonderful. And gradually all the runoff started getting more and more from all the trailer parks and stuff they put around the lake. And so pretty soon the lake got filled with hydrilla. They started spraying it. Now it's filthy, like most of the other lakes we are on. But what happened is we could swim in the water and there were no gators. The human beings, being the apex predator, had shot them until they basically had gotten, that we'd gotten rid of them in residential lakes. Now, because of that, we had a lot more turtles and we had a lot more garfish and stuff like that, but they don't eat people. But we were safe. I mean, I was down there swimming when I was 5 years old by myself with my friends. I mean, that was it. I learned how to swim at five, and I'm in the lake at five. And I mean, I lived every summer in the lake probably until I was 13 or 14 years old. And now water moccasins, that was another story. I've been attacked by a water moccasin. He didn't get me. He came after me on the side of the bank of a canal. I've shot a bunch of those. This is not an exaggeration. I've shot 100 water moccasins. I used to chop them up with shovels, and you know, I would get them in a nest. And I'm so careful because down here we have so many reptiles. My neighbor a few years ago who lived next to me, not the current neighbor I have who's got some sense, but this one had never lived in Florida years ago, and he had cut a bunch of lake weeds, and he ended up piling all the lake weeds in his front yard for the garbage to pick up, and they sat there for about 3 weeks. And I warned him. I said, his name was, well, it doesn't matter what his name was. We're going to call him Alfredo. I said, Alfredo, which is not his name. I said, Alfredo, look, I said, that pile is filled with snakes. I said, there's at least half a dozen snakes, probably various varieties in there. And I said, if you go to pick this up in a trailer, I said, you're going to be regretting it. I said, with a pitchfork. I said, you really need to have a claw truck come in and pick this stuff up. And he's just laughed at me. And I said, dude, whatever, man. Have fun, Alfredo. Do what you need to do. And about a week later, he's out there with a doggone pitchfork throwing it in the back of a trailer. And I hear screaming and yelling at the lake. And I run down there. And he literally had five or six snakes out already. And so, I told him, I said, dude, I said, I can only tell you guys. I said, I can't fix stupid. I said, do what you need to do. And I said, you're going to get yourself snake bit. And if you've got a copperhead in there, or you've got a rattlesnake in there, you've got a water moccasin in there, you're going to be on the way to the hospital. Or even a coral snake. I mean, we had like all this stuff down here. And so he ended up calling a claw truck and they came and picked it up. And it was funny also, when they were picking up the truck, snakes were falling out of the pile. And that's where we live. That's Florida. Okay. That's Florida. Now, the alligators are so bad here that I've shot them before repeatedly when they've come after my animals or my pets. My neighbor, three doors down, his name was Joe Crane. He's a great guy. He's dead now. May he rest in peace. Wonderful man. He ended up, there was about a 12-foot, 13-foot one laying on the lakefront one day down at the lake. And sure enough, he ended up shooting it with a .308, blowing the top of his head off. The only place you can shoot those things is like right at the top of the head by the eyes. And you have to literally open up their brain pan to kill them. They're almost impossible to kill. Can't really kill them with a handgun unless you do an eye shot because it bounces off of them. And it was crazy. Then they hauled him off and they sold it for gator meat or whatever. Who wants to eat a reptile? It's got to be nuts to me anyhow. But what ended up happening a few years later, we had another one, about a 5-foot one, come after the kids when they were swimming. And see, when kids are swimming in the water, and we had him trapped and taken out, and I unloaded a Kimber into him, and didn't even faze him. I unloaded the entire magazine. I mean, he was swimming underneath the dock, and I unloaded the entire magazine on him. Didn't make a bit of difference. It just bounces off him. And so we had him come. We had the First Water Game Commission come in and clean him out and get rid of him. And it's just this is a problem in Florida that we have. You think, well, gosh, why would anybody want to live there? Well, they got grizzly bears in Montana. Okay, you got these apex predators like this, and they don't have any people killing them anymore down here. The problem with alligators is they don't stop growing. And I'm going to repeat that. They don't stop growing. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. A few years ago, here in Lake Hamilton in Winter Haven, it's a very shallow lake. They pulled out. We have like 100 lakes around us where I live. It used to be called the City of 100 Lakes. And so they actually pulled out a 19-foot alligator. Now, they say they don't come after human beings. That's a total and complete blatant lie. They come after any mammal, like Austin said. The problem with it is that people come down here to Florida and they're on vacation and they don't realize that we have stuff that eats you in the lakes. I'm going to repeat that. We have stuff that can eat you in the lake. Now, to me, Disney was completely and totally in the air here. Disney doesn't have to apply for, they don't have to do anything, Austin, as far as the Florida wildlife management, swamps. And they don't do anything. They've exonerated themselves from pretty much all state laws. They can fill in wetlands. They can do whatever they want to do over there. And to me, for that Disney is not trapping these gators and taking them out of that water is just stupid. It's stupid because they don't have to follow the same rules the rest of us do. They could put the hunters and the state trappers in there, and they can just pull them all out. You know, if a gator's 1 or 2 feet long, they're pretty much harmless, and they look cute. One time, Austin and I, we were at Steak and Shake over in Winter Haven. The guys, you got to think we're making this stuff. We're not making any of this stuff up. We're at Steak and Shake in Winter Haven, and some lady comes running inside. There's an alligator running across the parking lot. And sure enough, it was a small one. It was about 2 feet. So I thought, well, heck, we can, you know, just get rid of this thing for him real quick. So I ran over to Austin. Remember, I tried to put my boot on it. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember? I mean, guys, you think, and so this thing squirmed out from underneath my foot and ran under a dumpster. I'm not kidding. It ran under a dumpster. Well, that was the end of it. And then pretty soon he's back into a storm drain and gone. But guys, it's a major problem in Florida. And you also have to watch out for water moccasins because they're super, super aggressive. When my wife and I first moved down here back in 84, we were at my mom's house, the fish camp that we used to live at when we were kids. And I remember I warned her, I said, be very careful when you walk down to the lake, because there are all these roots laying out on the ground from the erosion of the water and the dirt running into the lake over all the years. And you may think that that's a root, but it might be a snake. And I'll never forget this, Austin. She walked down there one time barefoot with me, and she stepped right on top of about a 5-foot water moccasin. She jumped straight up in the air. She did a Fred Flintstone, started treading air in the air. I didn't think it was physically possible, if I had not seen it with my own eyes, for somebody to be that high in the air they could actually start getting, you know, start like running in the air. And man, I don't know who was more scared, that snake or her. I don't think you'd ever seen a human being do something like that. So I ran up to the house real quick, and I had a 1911 45 stainless steel hardballer. It was an AMT. And I ran back down to the lake, and I shot him and blew his head off after he was already back in the water. But these things are super aggressive, so we live with this stuff down here. Because of these state laws now, we can't really get them out of the lakes anymore and hunt them like we need to, and so they're becoming a big problem again. I remember just a couple of years ago, in fact, it was one year ago this spring, I went up to the what's the name of that park up there by Amelia Island, Austin? Is it that big one up there, the one front on the ocean? You remember that?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So it's up Amelia Island. It's I can't think of the top of my head.
It's a great camp, okay, but it's full of snakes, all right? And so we're out there. There's a fort there, and a bunch of kids are running around barefoot. I mean, they're having a blast. They're going from the visitor center out to the fort, which is right on the beach. And sure enough, here comes about a 3-foot rattlesnake right on the side of the thing, right in front of me. So I jumped up and I went, whoa! I'm always looking for snakes here. I mean, that's why you don't tromp through the bushes here in Florida. You just don't do it. You don't tromp in palmettos. We had another friend had a dog that bit one time and tromping through palmettos by a rattlesnake and was dead. And so I grabbed this snake and I got a stick and I yelled. Well, the guy inside at the counter, this is a rattlesnake. It's a pit viper. It's poisonous, right? And so I grabbed ran over, got a big oak limb and broke it off one. I came over there to crush its head to get rid of it. All these little children walking right by within inches of it. And I'm warning everybody, I'm about to kill this. I pick the stick up and the guy starts screaming at it and tells me that if I kill that snake, I'm going to be arrested, that I'm inside of a state park and that snake has rights. Starts telling me this crap. And so then he walks over to the snake and grabs it with like a 2-foot stick underneath its belly and gently picked it up. I thought he was going to go make love to this stupid thing, wanted to caress it and hug it and kiss it and fondle it. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And picks his pit viper up and carries it over to the bushes about 20 feet away from the sidewalk and says, here, you'll be safe here. And he's talking to it like baby talk. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, your mama must have dropped you on your head, boy. Something's wrong with you. Then I looked at the guy. I said, what are you, nuts? I said, it's a pit viper. It needs to die. No, it's protected here. And I'm like, I can't deal with this. I have to leave. So we all took off and left. And I said, gosh, this is just unbelievable. But that's how they act towards this wildlife down here. Now, don't get me wrong. If you've got a black snake, we've got black snakes all over the yard. They eat rats. They eat lizards. They can maintain equilibrium and balance. I love black snakes. They're great animals, and they're good. They don't bite people. They run away from people. They're called black racers, and they're fast. You can't just forget trying to catch one of those things. And I like having them around the house because of the lizard population and because it controls rodents. So I love those snakes. But when it comes to poisonous pit vipers that can kill children or kill people, kill adults, guys, there's plenty of them. And then when they made these gators put them on the endangered species list back in the 70s, they finally came out and said, we vastly underestimated the population of alligators in the state of Florida. And what had happened is there were still millions of them. They finally admitted that. They weren't endangered at all. but we had gotten them out of the freshwater lakes. And now we have 30, 40 years of these things growing again, and we have these giant reptiles. In fact, I watched a video the other day. You guys can YouTube it. Alligator walks across golf course close to Miami. And this thing walks across the golf course. This guy's standing in front of it. The gator still looks huge. The gator's probably 40 feet away, and it still looks huge. It's probably 19 feet long. And he's walking across. It looks like a stinking dinosaur walking across the golf course. Okay, newsflash for everybody listening. There's nothing okay about that being with a human being in the same vicinity. Those things can run 30 miles an hour, and they can kill you and eat you. Just last week, we found there was another gator here. No, we were in Germany, and we read the story about it in Lakeland, which is 10 miles from me, about a gator with somebody in its mouth. I mean, are you joking me? This happens all the time in Florida. It's kind of like shark attacks, and it's kind of like shellfish poisoning. We don't tell the tourists about this stuff, but you're hearing it on my show today. So you guys know, when you come down here, stay away from swampy water if it's not clean. Stay in the swimming pools, guys, with your kids. Don't be going out where stuff can eat your children. I mean, it's a tragedy thing, and my prayers go out to this family. Here's another interesting article. What Doctors Won't Tell You wrote this article. It says, forget coffee if you slept badly in 3 nights in a row. Scientists discovered that caffeine loses its power to give us the necessary jolt if we sleep for less than 5 hours a night. Okay, now here's what they're saying here. This is not what they're saying, but I'm going to correct this whole thing for you real quick. Coffee elevates cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone. Cortisol is the same thing that your body releases at night in the morning when it's time to get up to make you agitated to get up to eat breakfast. That's what cortisol does. Cortisol is what makes you edgy and kind of snappy. So when you get up in the morning and your blood sugars are low, you're waking up because your body's elevated cortisol. It's a stress hormone. It gets you up. It's kind of like your biological alarm clock. It ties into your circadian rhythm, which is the natural process that mammals have as far as sleeping at night, releasing melatonin, and maintaining the same type of sleep pattern on an ongoing basis. When you're young, when you drink coffee, you elevate cortisol. You also force your adrenals to release adrenaline, which pushes your liver to release glycogen. And so it gives you a big energy boost when you drink coffee or you put caffeine into your body. Now, the coffee is a little bit different. Now, this is why I use the purple sticks. When you drink coffee, it elevates cortisol almost immediately. And when you're a teenager, that cortisol will return back to normal within about 24 hours. When you're in your 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, the older you get, the longer it takes your body to reabsorb the elevated cortisol. That's why when you're drinking coffee in the morning, it's going to have elevated cortisol for 24 to 36 to 48 hours, 72 hours sometimes, which messes up your sleep patterns and you can't sleep at night. That's why I always tell people, don't drink coffee in the afternoons or don't drink it at night before you go to bed. I mean, think about what you're doing anyhow. Why are you drinking coffee before you go to bed? So what I tell folks is this. When I get up in the morning on an empty stomach, first thing, I take my powdered vitamin C and I take my purple stick and a 22-ounce glass of distilled water. I dump them both in there. And I stir them up real well, and I drink it, and then I just sit down and I check my emails. Then I wait about an hour and let everything work that's going to work. It's loaded with B vitamins, the purple sticks are. And then I go, okay, I feel pretty good. Then I get up and I have my really high quality, high nutrient density protein shake, which is pretty expensive on the initial purchase, but then it runs about $100 a month after you get your initial stuff. And I have that protein shake, and I use that for about 2 or 3 hours, and then I go train in the gym. Because by that time, that's out of my stomach, and my stomach's pretty empty again. Today, I had a really good workout. I hit squats. I did 50 reps on squats. Now, my squats now are a deep, deep bend with a broomstick. I don't compress my spine anymore after I had back surgery. Plus, I'm 60 years old. So for me to do 50 deep knee bends in one set or 75 in one set, it gets to be going pretty good. I'm sweating pretty hard. And then I can do 50 squats, and then I superset that with 50 leg press with like 100 pounds on it. And then I go back, 25 leg press, and I go back and do another 50 squats, and I come back and do another 25 leg press. And so I ended up, doing 125, 150 reps a day, and I'm sweating like crazy. So what I do is I don't go out right then and eat, because at that point in time, your body goes into what's called a glycogen deficit. You're not having as much sugar as you need because you haven't eaten in a few hours. So what your body does, it forces itself to release glucagon, which helps to burn stored body fat. And now I let that store, I want to burn body fat for at least an hour after I train, and I do that. Now, if you're trying to do competitive bodybuilding and all that kind of stuff, you've got to have a meal pretty quick after you eat, but you can do that with a protein shake too. I'm talking about guys who are just trying to stay in good shape and keep body fat burned. And so that's the key here. And I'm 60 years old, and quite frankly, I'm actually dropping some body fat from doing that. I started doing that a couple of weeks ago, and I've built myself back up. Now, the first couple of times that I did just the broomsticks, because I'd be so careful with my lower back, just doing the, you know, the deep knee bends, oh my goodness, that I get sore. Now I'm not getting sore at all from it anymore, but I'm getting better and better and better aerobically. And so in a few weeks, I want to go up to Mount LeConte, up in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, and I want to do a 10-12 mile hike. I haven't done that yet. Well, I've been in my 60s, and so I've been doing that since I was 18 years old. And yes, I want to be able to push myself aerobically like that. And the key for that, any of that, is, guys, you have to build up slowly. Too many guys in their 40s and 50s and 60s decide they're going to go out and run like they did back in high school without building back up to it slowly, and end up with a massive heart attack. I've seen that happen repeatedly. So, guys, just do it really, really, really slow, especially with exercise, especially with high-intensity exercise. And, guys, just drop the coffee. It's not good for you. And watch the aspirin, too, like with BC powder, because that can really, really mess up your gut. You got to avoid that, because aspirin will actually eat a hole right through the side lining of the stomach and ulcerate your intestinal tract. You got to be really, really careful. But the good news is the intestines will rebuild themselves in about 72 hours if left alone. A lot of times you have to fast or drink something very, very mild and just let your body heal itself, which is really, really, really good. What's your next story, Oz?
This one's interesting. Now, Bates County Sheriff Chad Anderson announced this week that he will be waiving the concealed carry fees for the rest of June following the incident that happened in Orlando. The Missouri sheriff says he's waiving fees. The county normally charges residents $100 for their first five-year permit and $50 to renew it. The department also will hold free concealed carry classes for new applications all the way until July 9th. And I find this interesting because, you know, I like seeing sheriff's departments that are really Second Amendment supporters. They know that one of the best defenses to individuals that want to go crazy with a gun and just do mass shooting on people is somebody else with a gun. We've talked about that before, and sometimes the only thing to prevent violence is good guys with more violence. And I know that sounds weird. A lot of people disagree with that, but the simple fact is, if somebody comes in to a store or a nightclub or anything, you pick it, and he has intent to kill a large amount of people, you're not going to reason with him. You're not going to walk up to him and say, hey, listen, bro, this is a bad idea, this is a felony, you probably shouldn't be involved in this type of behavior. It just doesn't work that way. So, unfortunately, the only way to deter that type of behavior is to be able to respond with deadly force back. And like I said, I know a lot of people don't agree with me on that at all because of how anti-Second Amendment propaganda the government has been pushing for the last couple of years. But it's really simple, guys. People that carry concealed weapons, that know how to use them, that train regularly, that are proficient with their weapons, are some of the only people that are going to prevent incidences like this from happening, because the cops, they don't respond very fast. You saw in Orlando, if that story is even true, it took them 3 hours for the SWAT team to breach the wall in the back. That's how fast they get. I mean, I've had incidences here. We've had suspicious people out on sidewalks at 3 o'clock in the morning. You call the sheriff's department, they show up like 30, 40 minutes later. And I mean, and they get here, and I'm like, wow, man, you know what could have happened in 30 minutes while you guys were getting over here? So to me, there's no reason to rely on somebody else. You might as well take it into your own hands and become self-sufficient with a firearm. So I like this Missouri sheriff out here that he's waiving the fees and really trying to encourage people to get certified with concealed weapons permits and train, because he knows that's one of the best ways to deter that type of aggressive violence.
You know, years and years and years ago, probably 10 years ago, I'll never forget this. I got up in the middle of the night for something. I forgot. I just woke up. I mean, probably the Holy Spirit. And I think I told you this story. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning. 3, okay? And, you know, nothing good happens at 3 o'clock in the morning when people are casing your neighborhood or driving by your house slowly. Yeah. And, so I walk out, and here, sure enough, comes a car. And just driving down the lakefront, you know? And we live like on a cul-de-sac. And we got a road between us and the water. And they're driving on this road really, really, really slow. And I had my shotgun. And I remember I shut off the alarm. And they were like crawling. They were doing a quarter of a mile an hour. And they turned around and they came back again. And I immediately walked outside, and, you know, on my property. And I held my shotgun up. I was backlit. And I held my shotgun up in the air. And I yelled, "Who you guys looking for? Can I help you?" And man, I never forget this, Austin. Those guys stomped the gas, spun the tires, and took off. Guys, let me tell you something. That's all these types of people understand. If they know that you don't have a gun in your house, and they know that you're not armed, and they know that you won't defend yourself, then if they show up with a gun, they can do anything they want to do to you, to your wives, to your children, to anything. It doesn't make a difference to them. So we always, I have an RV, right? And I when I'm parking like in a Walmart parking lot, because I'm on a long trip on a book tour or whatever, radio tour, I got a big sign, and there's a big picture of a 44 Magnum pointed at you, and it said, "There's nothing in this motorhome worth dying for." Okay? And I know you say, "Well, gosh, Ted, that seems awfully aggressive." No, not being aggressive at all. What it's doing is just telling anybody who comes to that motorhome, this is probably not the motorhome that you want to break into. This, there are other RVs in the Walmart parking lot you probably want to mess with first if you want to break into one. Because I've had people try to get into the coach at night. I mean, I've had it happen, Austin. You've been with us before. People pounded on the door. And, at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, wanting money or wanting to get in. I mean, crazy stuff. And so, when you're out there in a parking lot, you don't have a whole lot of protection. Plus, the areas that you're in, if you're not familiar with the geographical areas, you don't know what kind of area. You can be in crack world, We've had them come out breaking beer bottles behind the coach before at night, out of a dumpster. I mean, crazy stuff. And so, when you're doing these radio talk shows and stuff, you got to be careful where you're going to park these things. That's why I always like it behind fences inside a security perimeter of the talk show area. Now, here's another interesting one. This is another article. Eyewitnesses are now reporting multiple suspects, which we've talked about already in detail. We were told there was only one shooter, 29-year-old Martin Mateen. However, there are at least three eyewitnesses who were in the nightclub that night who said there were more than one suspect. Another eyewitness said the shooting lasted like 8 minutes, beginning at the 29 mark on the video below. When asked by the reporter if there was someone else, or the eyewitness said, "I'm pretty sure it was more than one person. Like I said, I heard two guns going at the same time." Later, he says how he and some 50 other patrons were trying to flee the club, jammed in a narrow pathway. He also said there was a second suspect, a guy holding the door, preventing them from exiting. Then the next witness says, a victim of the shooting who played dead for several hours during the attack as a way to stay alive told ABC reporter that he was discharged from the local hospital. He had overheard a phone conversation, listen to this, made by the shooter, because this guy's playing dead, in which the shooter said he was the fourth shooter and that there were three other snipers and a female suicide bomber. Now, this is crazy. Then another text said that they were basically... This is some crazy stuff. It says, there are bits of information the media aren't telling us. Mind you, this is coming from a survivor. There are two others that were in the club slaughtering people that night who were not caught. They are still out there, and they are armed and dangerous. The media is not reporting this because they don't want to scare you. But they're telling people this is what's happening. And then you have a laughing policeman who, remember Sandy Hook's laughing medical examiner Wayne Carver and the smiling police officer standing behind him? The Orlando shooting was one of those two. In the video below, you can see at the 1 second mark, as a spokesman talks to the press, the Orlando shooting casualty, a policeman with spectacles, gray hair, and a mustache stands beside him, grinning and laughing. Who knew a shooting massacre could be this funny? I mean, on and on and on. So guys, it's like we told you on Friday, Sunday night with Doug Hagman, and like we told you on Monday, this whole thing stinks to high heaven, Austin. What do you think?
It does. That's why I went into detail and all that stuff at the beginning of the week, to primarily tell people that, listen, this is not the narrative that is really happening. He didn't just go buy a little base model AR-15 by himself and decide to go do some mass shooting. You got to understand, too, majority of people, if they are tactically trained to the point where they can pull off something like this, majority of them do not engage in this type of firefight without having at least a secondary backup. You have to have somebody that can watch your back. It's simple as that. I mean, you can go and say you believe the lone wolf shooter narrative that they say every single time. It's a lone wolf narrative. You guys remember out in San Bernardino when they had the shooting with the guy and his wife, his 95-pound wife that just had a kid 4 months before that? That was the narrative that those guys were. But then there were multiple people that said they saw between two and three tall, athletic males enter the premises right before the shooting started. So we have the same thing going on here. We have multiple people that were inside the building said there were multiple guns going off at the same time. that people were holding the door shut. So, yeah, for a second, if this really did even happen, I don't believe for a second that this is what we're being told the truth as far as the lone gunman who went out and happened to buy an AR-15 legally last week and committed this giant atrocity all by himself. Doesn't make sense. Logic doesn't make sense at all with it.
No, not at all. Here's another article. Tens of thousands of Palestinians have been left without water as Israeli firm cut supplies, report. An Israeli supply firm has cut off water to the West Bank area, according to media. Tens of thousands of Palestinians are now reportedly have no access to safe drinking water, are forced to buy water tanks as they fast for Ramadan among the June heat. Yeah, I don't know why they cut off the water. Who knows? I mean, I have no idea. Okay. But, you know, the whole thing about it is that, you know, you can't supply, you know, this Palestine, you know, the Gaza Strip. And I've said this on Hagman's show on Saturday night or Friday night. I'm going to repeat myself on this again. It's basically a concentration camp in that it's a FEMA camp in that these folks that are there. Now, it's not a death camp. They're not killing people and they're shooting them and, you know, gassing them to death. It's not that. But it's an area that's been completely controlled and cordoned off, and you can't go in and out without special permits. And they're basically like in a prison in there. And quite frankly, Israel is not doing itself any favors from a PR standpoint by shutting water off to these people. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, it's just awful. And so, you know, it's just, and I had a friend of mine call me up, a Jewish friend. A real nice guy. And he said, you know, are you saying that Israel's running a, you know, a death camp? And I said, I never said that. I would never say that. But what I am saying is that if they're going to treat these people like this, they should give them resettlement dollars because they get so much money from us anyhow and just let all the people in this Gaza area just buy them property down in Egypt or buy them property in some other Arab country and just pay to relocate them. And just stop this whole thing with the Gaza Strip. It's just absolutely awful, especially when these guys are being treated like this and their hospitals are being shelled and everything else. But every time I talk about that, people get mad at me. I don't even know why. Because, you know, nobody wants to... See, here's the thing. If you got something really ugly, nobody wants to look at it. Everybody wants to pretend like it's not there because nobody likes ugly. And so the problem is, if you keep pretending your whole life that something ain't ugly, you got to have to, sooner or later, deal with the ugly. It's like Jim Rohn says. He says, if you call a garden of weeds a beautiful garden, he goes, you know, and you really believe that, you know, being positive, he goes, the truth of the matter is, you know, they'll come take you away and put you in a little short bus, okay, and put you in a little padded cell. He said, it doesn't work that way. He says, you've got to call what is. You got to tell it what is. You can say, that's a garden of weeds. It looks awful. It could become a beautiful garden. Now you got the reality here. Now you're saying something positive of what it can become, but you're also stating what it is. See, this whole thing that we've got to look at is the New World Order, the Mossad, the Saudi government, the CIA, the Vatican, the Bilderbergers, the Council of 300, the Council of Foreign Relations. All of these people are working in concert to develop this New World Order, primarily run through the Rothschild banking cartel. So the problem is, You got to look at what it is, and you got to call it out for what it is. You don't have to be mean, and you don't have to be nasty, but you got to call it out for what it is. Here's another article. Brain-to-brain communication is now closer than you think. This is pretty interesting, Austin, because, again, we know that this technology is massively advanced with MKUltra, but every once in a while, they'll give us a little sneak peek of what they can do at this point. And it said, when a neuroscientist uses a monkey's thoughts to control computers. It was a huge breakthrough in mind-machine research. Now, see, most people didn't know that ever happened, but it did. By harnessing brain waves, has become even more complex now that humans are the subjects. Recently, researchers used the thoughts, listen to this, the thoughts of one human's brain to control the physical actions of another. Really, as a panel of experts explained at the World Science Festival this week, brain-to-brain link-ups are just getting started. In Austin, this is the literature and the research they're letting us have. Can you imagine how advanced this has become now? And nobody wants to talk about it. I mean, this is some crazy stuff when you start looking at it. But guys, it's for real. And it's something that we've all got to take a look at. Here's another article. It's from Chicago Man. This is, you'll love this one. Chicago Man is conveniently charged with murder after announcing police brutality lawsuit. Unbelievable. Like something out of Making a Murderer, a man was charged with murder mere moments after accusing and announcing a $15 million lawsuit against the Chicago police officers who shot him 7 times in a prior confrontation, just after the suspect, 25-year-old Dominic Greer, informed a room full of reporters that he had been never even been accused of a violent crime. He found himself being charged with a murder that occurred just over a week prior. If there were ever a tragic turn of events, it's this. I mean, now look, guys, I don't know if he did a murder or not, but here's what I do know. Chicago is as corrupt as it gets. It gave us Obama. I mean, that should be enough said right there, Austin, that it gave us Obama. So, yeah, so you really, really need to look at some of this stuff and realize that a lot of times it's simply retribution. They don't want you doing what you're doing, and they decide if you drop the lawsuit, if you drop the lawsuit against them, suddenly they'll find somebody else to charge for the murders. It's the most, that's got to be one of the most corrupt cities in the world, plus all the shootings that happen there all the time. It's crazy, Austin. What's your next story?
It is. We definitely see a lot more and on the rise as far as police brutality and police corruption. This is a video that's gone viral out of New York. This is crazy. An incident of road rage and police misconduct has gone viral after an off-duty cop pulled his gun on bike couriers. There were two guys riding in the bike lane in New York, and this guy in an unmarked vehicle in off-duty clothes. In the video, he's literally wearing t-shirt and shorts and tennis shoes. No badge chain, no duty belt, nothing. Straight up civilian wear completely. And all of a sudden, the cyclists start yelling at him because he comes over in their lane, hits both of them, and then keeps driving. So they, you know, pretty much yell at him. They're like, hey, man, you just hit us. You know, what's going on? Well, he slams his brakes, jumps out of the vehicle, pulls his gun on him, starts yelling at him, saying that they struck his vehicle, and he's going to charge him with battery and assault. So they basically freak out. They're like, dude, you hit me. They're like, where's your badge? Who are you? How are you going to pull a gun on us in the middle of the street? And they said that when he came out with a gun, he did not identify himself as a police officer. He just started yelling at him. So he went and called for backup. When on-duty officers arrived at the scene, they arrested the cyclist, Dwan Jones, charging him with possession of a weapon. They said he had a small ice pick on him, criminal mischief, menacing, and harassment. The alleged weapon was an ice pick, but the group of cyclists denied this, and no weapon was apparently found in evidence. So this just goes to show you again how these guys, a lot of them, not all of them, I have friends that are in law enforcement, and some of them are really cool, but some of these guys are on a straight-up power trip. There's no reason why you think you have the right to jump out of your vehicle and straight draw your weapon on somebody for no reason at all. Any civilian that behaved in this manner would immediately get 5 to 10 years in prison for this type of behavior on video. Guaranteed, because you are not in fear of your life. You're in your vehicle. You stop your vehicle. You get out of your vehicle to engage them with a deadly force weapon when they basically are riding a bicycle over the alleged claim that they hit you with a bicycle. That type of behavior is not acceptable in civilian society, and it's not acceptable in law enforcement. I don't know why he thought, like I said, a lot of them, they're so arrogant. They really think that they're above the law, and they can just parade around and pull pistols on people for no reason. So they haven't said who the police officer is yet in this thing. They said apparently he's a sergeant. So I don't know. Well, maybe we'll hear any more about it. But I've seen more and more videos online about this where officers just freak out on the road and pull people over, arrest them, ticket them. And most of the time, they didn't do anything at all. There's a video online last week. A motorcyclist was behind a SUV cop, and it was a roundabout. And the SUV cop was just sitting there on his cell phone. And the motorcycle cop, he's got a camera on his shoulder. He honks the horn, and he puts up his hand, like, you know, talking on your phone, and he yells at him. He's like, put your phone down. And all of a sudden, the cop flies open the car, runs open this motorcyclist's face, starts screaming and cussing at him, tell him he's going to arrest him for this, 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 and this. And the motorcyclist goes, dude, I was just telling you to get off your phone. Now you're impeding traffic. Now there's 10 vehicles behind me because you're screaming at me in the middle of the road, and he keeps threatening that he's going to arrest him and blah, blah, blah. But the problem was he knew he was on camera, So it kind of got him calmed down after about 2 or 3 minutes, and he jumped back in his SUV and took off real quick. But, yeah, this type of behavior, no, guys, it's not acceptable at all.
No, and again, it just, you know, and a lot of this is because of these guys are coming out of the military directly into law enforcement. And, you know, when they're running around Iraq with an M16 and they're telling people what to do and they don't listen, they end up shooting people, they get that mindset, that hyper-aggressive mindset. And they don't realize that being a police officer is to protect and serve, not to harass and intimidate and shoot. And so they just get a little thing that goes wrong and they kind of uncork and they kind of go nuts. Plus, a lot of these guys are taking steroids, a lot of them. They hit the gym all the time. They're taking extra testosterone. They're all geeked up on the tests, and they're hyper-aggressive. And when they do that, they basically turn into these just roid rage cops, and they get to do whatever they want to do to whoever they want to do it to, and it's okay because they're cops, and they cover each other, and they lie for each other. I told you guys a story that happened to me about 5-6 years ago in which I was having ice cream at the BMW dealership, and a bunch of roid rage cops started messing with me. I mean, the whole thing about this is guys, you know, there's some crazy people out there that are police officers. It's always best not to engage them. If you say something nice to them and they don't respond back, just let it go, leave it alone, let it drop, and walk away. If they start fussing at you, just remember this. You have the right to remain silent and hope and pray that somebody's videotaping what's going on, because if they're videotaping it, it calms everybody way, way down because they realize there's too many witnesses involved. So, yeah, here's another one. Daily Sheeple, is something big coming? Report, FEMA just quietly activated the civilian corps. Now, that's a pretty big deal, guys. While this group is unarmed, they are generally drafted from the fighting branches of the U.S. military, medical, and communications. They said basically that there is a very odd message about FEMA that came into a box here at work. The message is entitled, FEMA activates its hush-hush civilian corps, and it goes, why now? So, guys, maybe they know something's about to happen. Who knows? You know, I kind of wish they'd tell us what's about to happen so we could all get prepared. So, I don't know. It's just kind of crazy to me what's going on. Here's another article from the election news. Trump now says that U.S. Iraq war soldiers stole $50 million. That's probably on the low side, to be honest with you, because we brought over, gosh, billions of dollars in cash over there. This is from Sputnik News, and Trump's probably right again. The Republican frontrunner has characterized himself as a champion of the U.S. soldiers, made the allegation during an off-the-cuff segment of speech on Tuesday night, and has since been basically slammed by mainstream media outlets. Donald Trump's Tuesday night speech in Greensboro, North Carolina, took a controversial detour when the Republican presidential candidate commented on corruption of the military. You know, he's right that this happened, Austin, but this is not going to help him win this election.
No, not right now.
I mean, we've got people shooting people in nightclubs, supposedly. We've got Hillary Clinton finding everything he can say about him. He kind of needs at this point, you know, to go ahead and do a speech, you know, into a camera, get it transcribed, thrown on a teleprompter, and have his team look at this and see if he wants to say stuff like this. And I understand he's not a teleprompter kind of guy, but he kind of needs to just kind of chill out. See, this really aggressive tactic that he's used to get to where he is good. I got that. But save it for Hillary and save it for Bill. Bring up little tidbits like this about Bill and Hillary and the death of Vince Foster or the Rose Law Firm or running drugs out of Mena, Arkansas. All of that stuff. Bring that up. Drop those little tidbits on the table, because the media won't say anything about those things, Austin, because they don't want coverage on those items. Because the Rothschilds are running this, and the Rothschilds want Hillary in. So it's kind of like this. We've got a globalist Rothschild banking cartel who's had $100,000 plate dinners for Hillary Clinton, who are running the United States media and who run the Western world through their central banks, fighting against a nationalist Donald Trump, billionaire, business guy, who's had enough of this and wants to try to change the country back to better days. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it, son? So, you know,
yeah, it does.
Is Donald perfect? Absolutely not. Does he insert his foot in his large mouth every once in a while? Hey, guys, I do the same thing. I've done it before on radio. I've had to apologize multiple times. But, guys, listen to me. You know, when you're not running teleprompters and you're not running scripts, it's really, really easy to say a few things every once in a while that you kind of wish you hadn't said. You know, and you kind of look back and you go, gosh, I wish I hadn't said that. But the truth is, no teleprompter, You know, and even when you have teleprompters, you're going to have mistakes. Here says another one. Politifact says that Trump is right. Hillary supports a 500% increase in Syrian refugees. Wow. This is from Breitbart. Donald Trump was right when he said Hillary Clinton wants a 500% increase in Syrian refugees. You know, he wants to admit now over 100,000 immigrants have come in from the Middle East. Now Clinton wants many, many, many more. I mean, guys, think about this. We got Muslims running around shooting people. You know, Albert Pike is the name I couldn't remember the other day, who had written the book Morals and Dogma. In one of his letters, he said that basically the Third World War is going to start with the Muslims and the Christians against the Zionists. And the truth is this. You know, they've had this thing planned out, and they have to do this to us in a way that gets everybody really, really mad. And remember Henry Kissinger said, I think it was back in the 70s or 80s, that Americans would never allow people in the street with, you know, troops in the street right now. But he said, if you get enough terrorism going on, enough attacks in America, they will welcome the troops in the street. Now, I'm paraphrasing that. They will welcome martial law. See, I don't know, other than they're doing some type of advanced technology and weird sacrificial worship and doing kind of weird stuff to keep these guys alive. I mean, Clinton, these guys like Soros, and, you know, I wish they would just go ahead and just go to wherever they're going to go in the next life and be done with these guys. This is Kissinger and also Soros. But for some reason, these two dudes have been around in this political circle for longer than I can remember. Soros all the way back in the 40s. Are you kidding me? Clinton back in the, you know, Kissinger back in the 50s and the 60s. And they're like ever-ready bunnies off, so they just keep ticking and ticking and ticking. So you kind of wonder how much human growth hormone they're getting, you know, and what the source of that is. What's your next story, bud?
This is interesting. Out of Clinton County now, homeschooling is on the rise by almost 15% increase in homeschool families. According to Clinton County News now, the increase is due to improved access to homeschool programs, personal religious beliefs, and an increase in public school age. The school district, though, has now recently decided to start conducting random audits of homeschool families during the summer months. The audits will randomly examine both academic and attendance records of homeschool families. The problem is, this is not being done without some type of ulterior motive. The Homeschool Legal Defense Association is completely opposed to any such audits and said they are unconstitutional and troubled by the underlying reason. Speaking at the school board, Mike Reeves, the district finance director, estimated that they may lose almost $435,000 a year. Here you go. And SEEK, which is Support Education Excellence in Kentucky, which is about the loss of about 85 homeschooler students in Clinton County. Kentucky spends approximately $9,300 of SEEK funds on every student. However, the Kentucky Department of Education estimates the SEEK funds for 16 to 17 will drop all the way down to $5,000 per year per pupil. And so the staff attorney with the HSLDA wrote a letter to Julie York in which she pointed out the parents who teach their children at home are operating as a private entity school. And as such, they are required to keep attendance and academic records, verifying that their children are being educated for the minimum term of 170 days. However, he notes, there's no difference between a homeschool and a private school. Under the state law, school officials cannot simply show up at a homeschool's family home and demand records as they might of a more traditional private school. No records should be demanded unless the school district has evidence that parents are not educating their children. So I found this interesting as we see more and more of the war on homeschooling, because it just doesn't fit the government agenda with all the core, common core and everything else. And then you start seeing that they're going to lose about $3,000 a student because these kids slowly transition over to homeschooling. So I thought that was an interesting article today up in Kentucky.
It is, Austin. And see, you know, we pay these ridiculous property taxes every year just because to the school system, I mean, thousands of dollars a year, and we don't even use the system. So it was really nice for me when I was able to put Harrison into the collegiate high school program here in Florida. This is Harrison, Austin's younger brother is Harrison, and have his tuition covered. And now this last year in the full-time collegiate high school, they'll even cover his books. So that's another real blessing. So, but you know, it doesn't even come close to paying me back for all the property taxes that I pay. To me, if a person is homeschooling their children, they should at least get the money that the state gets per child to cover these costs, or at least not have to pay property taxes those years. That's how I look at it. And I think that's something that should be amended in the state constitution. But they don't want to do that, Austin, because they don't want to lose matching funds from the federal government, et cetera, which is what you're talking about here. So what they're trying to do here in the state of Florida is great and unprecedented in a lot of states as far as providing free college for these kids. But the truth is this, guys, you know, homeschool is a much, much better alternative if you have the ability and the want to do it. It really, really is. It makes a huge difference for the kids from an academic standpoint. You get them away from a bunch of kids that are really, the Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. And so it really allows you to pick their friends more efficiently instead of just having them hang out with kids. I remember, you know, when I was in school, there was always those kids that everybody knew not to hang out with because you start hanging out with them, they're doing drugs. You start hanging out with them, they're going out and getting drunk every weekend. We're talking 14, 15 year old kids. And so you start to realize that, you know, you start to pick a group of people to hang out with that are going to be more, you know, suitable to your lifestyle and to your personal goals for your own life. And see, homeschool allows that. And plus it gives a child a much more advanced schooling experience because the teacher, the mother, or the dad, whoever's doing it, if they have two or three kids at home, it's one on three or one on two or one on one. I know when we first had you, Austin, you know, we were 10 years between having any more kids. You know, you were the only child that mom homeschooled for like 5 years. And so you really got her full attention, and you were super academically advanced. I remember you were reading the USA Today newspaper with full comprehension at the age of 7. And I thought that was very impressive. And I thought, wow, because that's the age of 7. Most kids are still just trying to learn how to read, you know, with Jack and Jill kind of stuff. But, you know, that's what we were able to do with all of our children. We've got them advanced academically because of the ability that we were given by God to do that and the fact that we were able to have the opportunity to homeschool these children. And so a lot of folks who boo-hooed us, you know, when you were in school and being homeschooled are now realizing as their grandkids are coming up that maybe their kids will hopefully homeschool their kids. So I kind of like that. Here's another story. The report, this is a report from on Academy Sports. Now, this is a huge company that sells weapons and guns. Apparently, they just pulled all their AR-15s off the shelf. Okay, so I thought that was interesting. And they're like, there's 200 or 300 of these people all over the country. This is a huge company. It's just massive. And it says Academy Sports and Outdoors is gathering personal data on customers who buy more than 10 boxes of so-called assault caliber and ammunition. I don't even know what to say about that. And they're pulling rifles from store shelves in support of the Obama administration's agenda. An anonymous employee said the new policies were outlined in a recent conference call in which corporate told employees they will soon require buyers to furnish personal information and the company will keep on a file for ammunition, likely for the federal government if requested. Additionally, Academy is pulling anything remember sporting rifles, AR-15s, including rifle-shaped barbecue lighters, and airsoft rifles from store displays, although another employee reveals semi-automatic rifles can still be sold upon request. You know, guys, here's what I say to you. Don't buy anything from Academy Sports and Outdoors. How about that? Just don't buy them. You know, that's how I look at it. If they're going to do this, support the guys that are going to support your Second Amendment and not build a database on you. So, gosh, I mean, that's absolutely awful. Now, if that story is not correct, that was from Kit Daniels, and you guys find anything else about this company, email us and we'll issue a retraction on that. But, guys, you know, just to me, it's not worth it. It's just not really worth it. Now, here's another one from Ars Technica. It says, a hacker has told the U.S. authorities that, you know, he was guilty in giving terrorists U.S. military kill list information. I mean, the defendant, a Kosovo citizen named Ardite Fretzi, was arrested in Malaysia last year and was accused of stealing data on U.S. military personnel. I mean, guys, you know, when you've got people out there giving out data on people's families and their homes and stuff like that, and military guys, and they're issuing kill orders, I mean, unbelievable. Sun Sentinel here in Orlando, this is an interesting article. 2 dozen news agencies, including Sun Sentinel and Orlando Sentinel, have joined forces to forcibly demand the release of the recording of 9/11 callers frantically reporting a gunman on Dudley Rampage Sunday morning at a gay club. Okay? Think about what's happening here. The newspapers are getting involved and going, hey, you know what? We got to know what's going on with this because you guys are being too covert. Remember, the Department of Homeland Security has gotten all over this now because it's a terrorist attack. Yep. Citing an ongoing investigation, Orlando police have refused to release the tapes. even in critical and challenging times, transparency is important, said a four-page letter sent Tuesday to Orlando City Attorney from media lawyer Rachel Fugate. It helps the citizens have a better understanding of what transpired and try to come to grips with a horrific and unimaginable tragedy, citing numerous reasons that the recording should be treated as public records and not be withheld. Now, this is behalf of the Sun Sentinel, the Orlando Sentinel, the Miami Herald, the Palm Beach Post, the Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune, New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, CNN, and the Associated Press. Included in the request were dispatch and scanner recordings. Okay, guys, listen to me with this. These guys that are requesting this information, this is the bastion of liberal journalism. Now, I don't know how in the world they got to burr up their saddle and they want to have these things, because they're the ones that are being controlled by the Rothschild boys. So if somebody somewhere didn't get the memo, they're not supposed to know this stuff. Okay? And so I actually applaud these guys for requesting this and just make them realize that, hey, I hope they get it. I hope it's all made public, and I hope it's not bogus, because that's the problem with tape stuff. It can be bogus. And one more thing, and then we're done with the show today. You can't make this up. Kerry and Saudi Prince pledged to fight extremism over the Orlando shooting. I mean, this is unreal. This is from the Ron Paul Institute. Here's further proof that U.S. foreign policy fact is stranger than fiction. One day after the Orlando shooting, where 50 patrons were gunned down, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry sat down to dinner with Saudi Prince Mohammed Salman in Washington, D.C., and according to the State Department, discussed the weekend shooting in Orlando, expressed their shared commitment to continue their cooperation in combating the spread of violent extremism, both regionally and intentionally. Yes, the same country that follows as a matter of official policy the exact treatment of homosexuals, basically they throw them off buildings over there, and they cut people's heads off, are calling this violent extremism. I don't even know what to say about this. I mean, the Saudis are like the most vicious people on the planet when they have all their annual beheadings at the beginning of the year. I mean, are you joking me? They throw homosexuals off the rooftops to kill them in Saudi Arabia, and yet they're saying that we have to fight against extremism. Unbelievable. Well, guys, thank you much for being with me today in Austin. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Please sign up and get our newsletter on health and nutrition products. We thank you for your support. We love you guys. Thank you so much for being with us again. Thank you for supporting us, making this broadcast possible. And I hope you enjoyed the show today. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes, appreciate it, guys. We thank you for everything. Email us or call us at Health Masters if you need anything at all. You guys have a safe night, a blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, Friday. Thank you so much.